Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me today on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk, and this is Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG. And we're online at kpcg.fm and have a live link at thetrumpet.com. Israel became God's chosen people. And it's important to remember that God doesn't play favorites. He is a respecter of righteousness and not of persons. But He did choose Israel. Israel factors into God's plan of salvation for all of mankind. So in choosing Israel, God was working out part of His plan, and that includes every human being that has ever been born. Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, had 12 sons. And those, of course, were the 12 tribes of Israel. The Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course, which you can get free at thetrumpet.com and sign up and take that course, it says his favorite son, Joseph, was sold into slavery by his brothers. And Joseph was taken to Egypt and eventually became a ruler second only to Pharaoh. A great famine caused the patriarch Israel to send his sons to Egypt to buy food, where they became reacquainted with Joseph. And we can pick up the story here in Genesis 45. So if you have a Bible, it'd be great to get it out. We'll look at these passages together. Genesis 45, starting in verse 17. It said, "And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, Say unto your brethren, This do you, lade your beasts, and go, get you unto the land of Canaan." And verse 18, it says, "And take your father and your households, and come unto me, and I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and you shall eat the fat of the land." And then in Genesis 46, in verse 28, it says this, "And he sent Judah before him unto Joseph, to direct his face unto Goshen, and they came into the land of Goshen." So we can see here that Israel settled in Goshen. But God promised to bring them back out of Egypt. You can see that in Genesis 50 and verse 24. Israel was going into Egypt under good circumstances, but God promised to bring them back out at a later date. And as you probably know the history, while in Egypt, the people of Israel multiplied greatly. Exodus 1 and verse 7 says, "And waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them." So there was many, many families that grew and expanded there in that land. And as many are familiar with, eventually a new Pharaoh rose to power, and he enslaved the Israelites. He did not treat them kindly as they were originally treated. Notice this in Exodus 1, verses 8 through 14. It says, "Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we." Verse 10, "Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply. And it come to pass that when there falls out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor." And finally in verse 14, it said, "And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage, in mortar and in brick, and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor." And so Israel was enslaved, and they had a very difficult life. It was hard bondage. It was a lot of work in the field, and in mortar, and in brick, and in all manner of service that they did. It was with rigor. It was hard. They were going through quite a trial. But remember, God is faithful and he keeps all of his promises. He did promise to bring Israel out of their bondage. And so there's a lot of lessons that we can gain from this history. After all, we are told that what happened to Israel anciently is for our admonition today. It is for us to learn from. And sometimes we find ourselves in difficult trials. Bondage, we could say. And sometimes bondage to sin because of a weakness. But we have to have faith in God's promises to us. He cannot lie. He will deliver us. Of course, if we put forth our effort as well and we seek him and we seek his help. We need faith and patience, and God will deliver us. I mean, Israel had to have patience. They had to wait for God to fulfill his promises. It wasn't just one day that they had hard bondage. It was quite some time. And of course, there are many people over the years that have struggled with test and trial for quite some time. But God is always faithful to deliver his people, those that look to him and that trust him and believe him. Faith and patience. Notice this inspiring passage in 2 Peter 2 and verse 9. 2 Peter 2 and verse 9. It says, "The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished." God knows. He knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations. And of course, part of that is living in a godly manner, striving to obey God, drawing close to God. He knows how to deliver. But oftentimes, it's very different than maybe the way we would think. I mean, if you were a slave in Egypt, and you knew God promised to deliver you, you could probably think of 100 different ways that God would do it. Would anybody think that it would be through the 10 plagues and how that would all unfold and then coming through the Red Sea? I doubt any human mind would have conceived of that. Mr. Armstrong makes a point about that in many of his writings, in talking about faith, that faith only has to do with God's promises. That's all it has to do with. He's got so many ways of delivering us that we don't even know about, we wouldn't even think about, we wouldn't even imagine. But he is faithful, and he does deliver the godly out of temptations. Let's get back to our story here, our history in Exodus 3, and we'll look at verses 7 and 8. Verse 7, it says, "And the Eternal said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows." Does God say that about us? Does he say, you know, to us, "I've heard your cries. I know that you have some struggles. I know that you have some tests and trials. I'm going to deliver you." Verse 8, it says, "And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites." God was going to bring them out of that hard bondage and bring them to a land flowing with milk and honey, a much better situation, to say the least. God heard their cries. He knew their sorrows, and he was coming to deliver them. There's a lot we can learn from that history. There's a lot of lessons. But one of them is just waiting on God, having the faith and the patience that we need, and asking for help, of course, crying out to God, and waiting for his deliverance. And that's not always easy, is it? But it is what we need to do. That's the faith we need to have. If we look at the great men and women of the Bible, you can look at Hebrews 11, the faith chapter. They waited on God. They trusted God. Not perfectly in most cases, but overall they really did. And God delivered them. Now, how did God deliver Israel? It was by his power. No man could have brought Israel out of captivity. You know, it would have been easy for the Israelites to say, well, okay, we're going to be delivered, so maybe we need to form an army, and maybe we need to fight against the Egyptians. Maybe we need to come up with a plan, and maybe we need to do this or do that. It would be easy to think that way. And again, sometimes there is something we may need to do, but God has to deliver. And he does that through his means and his methods. And then, of course, in our personal lives, if we understand what that method is, then we need to make sure we follow through with it. In the case of Israel, they had to wait on God. They had to wait on his chosen leader. They had to wait on Moses. And then God worked through Moses. It was God that delivered Israel. He used Moses to lead them. Now, sometimes people might talk about the great leaders that God used. But the thing is, we cannot forget God. He is the power behind those leaders. Even in Christ's day, you probably remember the history. People love to talk about Abraham. Abraham was their father, and they kept talking about Abraham. But the thing was, they rejected the God of the Old Testament, who directed Abraham. But they were talking to the God of the Old Testament when they were talking to Christ. They talked about Abraham, but they rejected the God that led him and empowered him. And so we have to remember God behind these great leaders of faith. And of course, follow their faith. That's what we're following, is the faith. Notice Exodus 3. It says, "Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Verse 7, "And the Eternal said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows." So again, he's reiterating the fact that he knows. He knows their sorrows. He's heard their cry. When God's people call out to him and cry out to him, he knows. And he has a plan for deliverance. Verse 8 says, "And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites," and so on. And so God was going to do this. He heard their cry. He knew what they were going through. And the time had come for him to deliver them. And when that time came, there was no stopping God's plan. The Correspondence Course says that God chose Moses to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. He had previously caused Moses to be specially trained for this mission by having him reared as a prince in the palace of the Egyptian pharaoh. And you can read about that in Exodus 2, verses 1 through 10. God also commissioned Aaron, his brother, to assist Moses by being his spokesman. And you can see that in Exodus 4, verses 10 through 16. But, you know, if you think about that, if you were one of these children of Israel, you could easily think to yourself during that time of training for Moses that God didn't hear, that God wouldn't respond. But it took patience. God was working the plan even then by having Moses trained. But people wouldn't know that. And so we can learn a lot from that. Is God setting plans in motion right now to deliver you from your trial or from your sorrow or from your difficulty? But, you know, you don't know it. We don't know it. We don't know exactly what God is doing at every single moment. But he does promise to deliver his people. He does promise to, and he did that to ancient Israel. But again, it's really interesting to put ourselves in their shoes. Because, see, we're reading this history knowing the outcome. They didn't know the outcome. They didn't know what God would do exactly. And we don't know what God will do in every instance or how he will deliver in every instance. Because if we did, we wouldn't need any faith, would we? If we knew how every single thing would work out to the exact, you know, letter and situation, then we wouldn't need any faith. But God is setting plans in motion to deliver his people, personally, collectively. And we can't lose sight of that. We have to remember that God is working out a plan like he worked out for ancient Israel. And that should help bolster our faith. again, like Mr. Armstrong said, faith has nothing to do with anything except for the promises of God. If God promised it, then that's it. That's all that matters. How we're going to get to those exact fulfillments, God doesn't reveal it in most cases, because he wants us to build faith and believe him. And I think we can relate to that. I mean, if you're a parent and you have children, or you have had younger children at some point, you know, they'll ask you questions. They'll say, Mom, Dad, you know, how's this going to happen? How's that going to happen? How's this other thing going to happen? And you've probably found yourself saying, just, I'll let you know. You don't need to know every single detail. I said we're going to do this thing. We're going to do it, but just believe me. Just trust me. And then hopefully we followed through. And but again, God's the same with us. We're God's children. We don't have to know every single moment of how things are going to work out. We just have to trust God and believe his promises and obey him and strive to be close to him. Exodus 3 and verse 19, it says, "And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand." Verse 20, "And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go." He will let you go. God promised it, and he fulfilled it. And of course, Pharaoh didn't listen to Moses at the start, but that was all part of the plan. God knew what he was doing. The God of Moses made sure that Pharaoh eventually did listen. When God sets his hand to save, nothing's going to stop it. When God sets his hand to deliver, nothing's going to stop it. No one's going to stop it. And that's a very comforting feeling. The Correspondence Course says, "In the ensuing plagues God brought upon Egypt, God turned the Egyptian gods and objects of worship against them to show that these were not gods. Even the plagues were sent in love for the Egyptians." So God was working this multifaceted plan, as he often does. He wasn't just delivering Israel. He was also teaching the Egyptians a lesson that there is the one true God. And there are not all these, you know, gods, these idols. They were nothing. They were stone. They were wood. They could not do anything. There was one God, one true God, of course, God the Father, and then the Word, God of the Old Testament, one God family. The final plague on Egypt, of course, was the death of the firstborn. You can see that in Exodus 12, verses 29 through 33. That was the final straw, and Egypt had had enough. Pharaoh had had enough, and they let Israel go. The Correspondence Course says, "The Israelites left Egypt at Pharaoh's urging." It got to the point, of course, where they didn't just let them go. They urged them to get out. The quote continues, "But once they were gone, he changed his mind and led his army in pursuit of Israel." And so here, Israel was freed. But then it looked like, oh no, I mean, we're stuck here against the Red Sea. Here comes Pharaoh and his army. You know, what's the result going to be here? What's the end result? It looks like we have nowhere to go. Like we're trapped. Have you ever felt like that in life? Stuck between the Red Sea and mountain ranges and Pharaoh and his army coming behind you. And you say, I have nowhere to go. Nowhere to go. And oftentimes that's the best place to be. Because we realize that only God can deliver us. And so we really go to him for deliverance. This quote continues, "Upon reaching the Red Sea, the children of Israel were stopped as if dead. There was no bridge. It was too far to swim. Behind them, Pharaoh's army was in hot pursuit. There was nothing they could do. They were stopped. They were helpless. And at that point, they had to rely on God." God wants us to rely on him. But oftentimes, we don't totally rely on God until we're in our Red Sea moment, where we are stuck, and there's nowhere to go, and there's no bridge, and there's no escape, and we're just there, helpless. And then we really, really rely on God. Exodus 14, verses 21 through 31, you can read the history. It shows what God did, how he delivered them. He led Israel through the Red Sea, and it caused the waters to crash down on Egypt's army. Not only did he deliver them, he made sure that Israel would never see the Pharaoh again. They would never see that army again. When God gets rid of a problem and a trial, it's gone. It is gone. They never saw it again. They never saw it again. God delivered them totally and completely. Exodus 14 and verse 25 says, "The Egyptians said, 'Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Eternal fights for them against the Egyptians.'" See, we can have some tests and trials. We can certainly have some difficulties. But the thing that is so amazing is that when we really rely on God and when he fights for us, you know, those trials are buried. They're gone. God does remove them. He takes care of them for us. And we don't see them again. We don't see them again. Israel was facing hopeless odds. Hopeless odds. They turned to God, and God delivered them in miraculous fashion. God fought for Israel. And so the lesson that we can learn from this, many lessons, I suppose, but one we can focus on today, is that we need to rely on God and obey him, and he will fight for us. If we rely on God, he is faithful and he is just to deliver us. He will deliver us. He will bring us out of problems and trials and difficulties. How do we win our battles? How do we win them? We don't win them through physical effort and physical might. We win them through trusting God completely. Completely trusting God. If we have those Red Sea moments and we need deliverance, then we're in a pretty good spot, actually, because then we can be delivered, because we can go to God and get the help that we need. There's a really interesting passage in relation to Israel being delivered through the Red Sea and having God save them that we find in Psalms 77. Psalm 77 and verses 19 and 20. It says, "Your way is in the sea, and your path in the great waters, and your footsteps are not known. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron." God led his people like a flock. He led Israel. And how did he lead them? Well, he led them right through the sea, through the path in great waters. And I love the fact that it says, "Your footsteps are not known." If you're there at the Red Sea and you have this crisis moment and you think, "I can't see the path, I can't see where to go." Well, it's probably because the path is miraculous. It's a path that only God knows, that only God can lead us on. His footsteps are not known. We don't know the path. We don't know which way to go. Israel didn't know where to go. They were there between the Red Sea and between the army and the mountain ranges. They couldn't go anywhere except right through the middle of the sea. But man wouldn't know that path. They wouldn't know those footsteps. But God does. God has paths. He has footsteps that we don't know humanly. We can't see them until he shows us. Here's the path. Here's how you are delivered from this trial. Here's how I will deliver you. He led his people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. It's remarkable to really think about how God delivers us. It might be worth taking some time to reflect on the times that God delivered you. And I can think about the times that God delivered me. We probably have all had a few Red Sea moments, and we probably will have a few more down the road. But if we remember that God is faithful to deliver his people, those who trust in him, and we can grow and develop the faith of Christ. That's all the time we have for this edition of Live by Every Word. Thanks for spending some time with me. I'm Dwight Falk. If you missed any past episodes, you can find them online at kpcg.fm and at thetrumpet.com. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.